Searchlights pierce a starry night sky, sweeping the clouds and illuminating a towering edifice in the form of the words, 20th Century Fox. 20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. Comic book pages show scenes of heroes and villains. In large white letters, a word emerges from the flickering images. Marvel. A title reads Northwest Territories, Canada, 1845. A fire burns in a grate, and an older, stern-faced boy whittling a stick glares at a younger lad who's lying in bed.
You're always sick.
You were sick when you were my age.
The older boy stands as a distinguished-looking man enters.
Evening, sir.
Evening, Victor.
Didn't realize you were still here.
I was just keeping James company, sir. If that's all right.
Very kind of you.
Any better, son?
Still cold, father.
It's the mild fever. You'll be all right in the morning.
You always say that.
And you always pull through, don't you? Taking your medicine.
Victor's glaring at James as all three are startled by the noise.
Your father's drunk again. You should help him home, Victor.
It's not my name he's calling, sir.
Father!
Stay where you are, James!
Father!
James' father and Victor hurry out. James, wide-eyed with fear, clutches the bedclothes. James leaps out of bed, out of the bedroom, and runs down a long corridor with lamps lining the walls to a landing overlooking a large front hall. A woman in a nightdress, restrained by Victor's father holding a shotgun, is looking in shock at James' father, who is lying mortally wounded on the stone floor. Horrified, he rushes downstairs to his father's side. His father stares up at James, then dies.
No.
James. There are things you don't understand.
Don't.
I need him to know.
Please,
no. Oh,
everyone stares as long, razor-sharp claws start to sprout from James' angrily clenched fists. In fury, James launches himself at Victor's father, plunging the claws into the man's midriff.
He wasn't your father.
James looks up at him in horror, then at his sobbing mother.
Son.
His father slumps dead to the floor, and James stares at his mother.
What are you?
With a look of animal fear and anger, he runs out of the house and sprints through the dark nighttime woods. Victor catches up with him and tackles him to the ground.
I didn't mean it!
Yes, you did! He deserved it. And he gave it to him. We're brothers, Jimmy. You realize that? And brothers protect each other. You have to be hard now. Hard so nothing can ever touch us.
We want to go home.
We can't. We stick together no matter what. And take care of anyone who gets in our way. Can you do that, little brother?
James nods tearfully. Men with lanterns are making their way towards them.
They're coming. Can you run?
James nods, and they head off. 20th Century Fox presents...
Keep on running, and don't look back.
In association with Marvel Entertainment... and Dune Entertainment. The boys keep running. A Donner's Company production. A Seed production. As men with a pair run into battle, bayonets fixed to their muskets, Hugh Jackman. Victor and James are soldiers in a savage battle in the American Civil War. James is ferocious in attack. Leave Schreiber. Victor stares as James is hit at short range by a cannon round, but doesn't die. They're strafed by a fighter in the First World War. The plane's hit and explodes. They advance through the mud of the Western Front. Danny Houston. Will I am. They advance on a German trench, fire into it, then leap in, fighting hand to hand. Lynn Collins. Victor slams a German against a wall, and James charges furiously. K. Kevin Durand.
Back to back!
Fighting barehanded, James tosses Victor a rifle, which he uses as a club. Dominic Monaghan. Victor's shot at point-blank range. James stares over at him. Taylor Kitsch. In World War II, James sucks on a cigar as his platoon on a landing craft prepare to storm a beach on D-Day. The ramp goes down, they charge, men being cut down in the surf by German machine guns. Daniel Henney. The brothers advance up the beach towards a bunker, Victor bounding like an animal. And Ryan Reynolds. Victor mauls the machine gunners like a big cat. US casting by Deborah Zane, CSA. Australian casting by Christine King. Victor turns the German's own machine gun on them. James looks on, frowning. Costume designer Louise Mingenbach. Victor wears a feral grin as he fires. In Vietnam, he's blazing away at a village from a helicopter.
That's enough!
Music by Harry Gregson-Williams.
Enough!
James moves to the cockpit and steers the chopper away from the village. On the ground, a village is occupied by American soldiers. Victor carries a young woman into a hut. Special makeup effects designed and created by Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr. Victor throws the girl onto a bed.
Stand down, soldier!
Victor attacks the officer. Visual effects supervisor Patrick McClung. Co-producers Luigi Friedman, Peter McDonald.
Victor!
Victor's attacking all the other soldiers. Film editors Nicholas DeToth, Megan Gill. James shoves a soldier who's about to shoot his brother, and Victor keeps attacking. Production designer Barry Robinson.
No!
Victor kills a soldier. Director of photography Donald M. McAlpine, ACS, ASC. Soldiers close in on Victor, their rifles raised. James joins his brother, his bone claws exposed. Victor roars. Executive producer Stan Lee. The brothers are completely surrounded. Executive producer Richard Donner. They look around at the ring of raised weapons. Produced by Lauren Schuler-Donner, Ralph Winter, Hugh Jackman, John Palermo.
Wake me when it's over.
Screenplay by David Benioff and Skip Woods. The brothers face a firing squad. Directed by Gavin Hood. James frowns fiercely. X-Men Origins, Wolverine. An officer opens the door to a dark, dirty cell where the brothers are sitting in chains.
My name is Major William Stryker.
You've been charged with killing a senior officer.
Is that correct?
Apparently, we have some issues with authority.
Just keep a lid on it.
Sir.
The warden tells me that your sentence was carried out by a firing squad of 1,000 hours. How'd that go?
It tickled.
Victor plays with a rat. The officer grins and removes his metal-rimmed shades.
You boys tired of running? Tired of denying your true nature?
What do you care?
Oh, I care. I care because I know how special you are. How valuable.
James frowns, unconvinced.
Look, you can stay here, locked up, like freaks of nature. Or you can join me. I'm putting together a special team with special privileges. Now tell me, how would you like to really serve your country?
James glances at Victor. An executive jet flies through cloudy skies. James sits with his eyes closed. There are several men on board, one of whom is sharpening a samurai sword.
You know, I love this weapon more than any other thing in the whole wide world. You want to know why?
No. It's memorable.
I'm sure it's a little bulky, tough to get on a plane. You whip out a couple of swords at your ex-girlfriend's wedding, they will never, ever forget it.
That's funny, Wade. I think you confuse me with someone who gives a shit.
Granted, it's probably not as intimidating as having a gun or bone claws or the fingernails of a bag lady.
Victor's nails extend into razor-sharp claws. Wade lays a hand on the handle of his sword and whips out his whetstone as Victor grins.
Manicure.
Victor. Easy.
Fred got a new tattoo. I'm concerned.
Oh, Jesus, Fred, you just met her last night.
I love her.
You love her after one night?
She's a gymnast.
Bradley, take her down.
Bradley's flying the plane with the telekinetic power of his mind.
Oh, God.
Are you gonna puke?
If we were meant to fly, we'd grow wings.
Don't worry, Nancy. More people die driving than flying.
How about from impaling? Hey, be nice. Or be your approximation of nice. Would you like a bucket?
Gentlemen, wheels down in Lagos in five.
plane hurtles through the clouds towards the lights of a nighttime city. The title reads Lagos, Nigeria. The group walk through the dimly lit squalor of a shanty town. They stop and stare at a high, featureless, rectangular concrete building. Inside, men sit at underlit desks sorting diamonds.
Why are we here?
All in good time.
Zero?
Zero walks towards the guarded, floodlit perimeter around the building.
Intruder! Perimeter breach!
Hand your weapon!
The guards at the gate rush to man bunkers, aiming their automatic rifles through narrow slits. Zero raises his hands and eyes the defenses calmly. He's got two large automatic pistols strapped to his back. Zero fires with superhuman speed and accuracy, finding a human target with every round. To reload, he flings his guns in the air and pulls out two clips, which the guns land on neatly. He flies through the air as he shoots. Bodies fall around him.
Having fun yet?
Victor runs into the compound, and a nervous guard seals himself in his tank.
Fred?
The tank.
The tank.
Yeah, I got that.
As Victor scampers up the outside of the building, Fred approaches the tank and looks down its gun barrel. The tanker sees him and pulls the trigger. Fred stuffs his fist down the barrel and the tank erupts in a vast fireball, the flames alerting the people on the top floor. Victor watches from the roof. The team enter the building. Upstairs, a businessman sees them in the lift, and as they reach the fourth floor, he punches a button, disabling it. The lights go out, and they're bathed in a soft green glow from the emergency lighting.
Great. Stuck in an elevator with five guys on a high-protein diet.
Oh, wait.
Dreams really do come true.
So just shut it! You're up next.
Thank you, sir. You look really nice today. It's the green. Brings out the seriousness in your eyes.
Oh, my God. You ever shut up, pal?
No. Not when I'm awake.
Bradley? Talk for her, please.
Bradley nods, concentrates, the lights come back on and the lift starts to move again. The businessman watches his monitor in angry disbelief.
Cover the elevator!
The elevator!
His workers all grab guns and aim at the lift door. The lift reaches the top floor, the 12th.
Time to go to work.
Wade concentrates, and as the lift doors open, he exits, whirling his swords to deflect all the shots being fired at him and cut the gunman and their office to ribbons. He sees a guy behind him, reflected in his blade, turns and cuts his bullet out of the air. Another shot is deflected back on the man who fired it. Wade leaps in the air, spinning, and takes down the two remaining gunmen as he lands. He looks up at the businessman cowering behind his desk and grins.
Okay. People are dead.
If you didn't have that mouth on you, Wade, you'd be the perfect soldier.
The businessman has a shotgun mounted under the desk.
I wouldn't do that if I was you, brother.
As he reaches for it, Wraith materializes at his side.
Take the diamonds. They are yours.
I don't want your diamonds. I want this.
It's a lump of rock.
That is nothing. A souvenir.
Where did you find it? I want the source.
A small village. Far inland. 3 days from here.
At the village, they interrogate the head man.
Tell him this rock is more valuable to me than his life. Ask him where he found it.
Ediebe, huh? Osirio Kwate.
Mama, my bossy.
Hey.
He says it came from the sky.
They all stare at the man. James frowns.
He's telling the truth.
You don't know the language, Logan.
It's a media fragment.
I know what it is. I'm asking him where he found it.
Sir, base wants to know our location.
Shut him down.
Yes.
Tell him everyone here will die unless he tells me where he found the rock.
Stryker looks at Wade, who looks at a loss.
He says that it's sacred.
Okay, fine.
Stryker pats Victor on the shoulder, then turns his back on the scene. Victor grins and grabs the head man by the neck. A woman flees and Zero opens fire. James tackles Wade as he starts to spin his blades.
Victor!
James stops his brother before he can unleash a killing blow.
Don't even think about it. We didn't sign up for this.
Victor relaxes, and they all eye each other uneasily.
What are you doing? We finally got a good thing going here. Don't you screw this up.
It's enough. It's enough. We've done enough.
Who do you think you are? This is what we do. Maybe you'd rather be rotting in a hole somewhere until they figure out a way to do it to us. Is that it? Huh?
I'm done. You coming?
With a last hard look at his brother, James turns and walks away.
Jimmy!
He stops and looks back at Victor.
We can't just let you walk away.
James grimaces, rips off his dog tags and throws them to the ground. Wraith and Victor stare at him.
Jimmy! Jimmy!
The team watch as he leaves, walking away into the jungle night. Lightning illuminates the clearing where they stand. Clouds billow around the peaks of a mountain range. A title reads, Canadian Rockies, 6 years later. A cabin sits on the summit of one of the lower mountaintops. James opens the door and steps outside. He's stripped to the waist. He wearily runs his hands through his hair. A dark-haired beauty follows him outside.
Why are you up so early?
He turns and smiles at her.
Come here.
A car makes its way along a dusty road at the edge of a pine forest. A crane piles up the trunks of felled trees as the car arrives at the logging site. James gets out and takes an axe and a chainsaw from the back of the pickup.
See you, baby.
Hey.
With his colleague staring, he turns back to her and reluctantly goes to kiss her. He throws his tools to a mate in the back of another pickup and climbs in. He and his girl grin happily at each other as the pickup heads for the forest. A brightly lit teacup ride spins in a fairground at night. A title reads Springfield, Ohio. A young couple play a game feeding coins into the mouth of a mechanical clown.
Nope. Come on.
Oh, wow.
They stare at a guy in a shiny costume swallowing a sword, then run through the fairground. Bradley stands at a stall, staring vacantly, leaning on a trunk, switching a light bulb on and off with his mind.
Hey, what do you do?
If you turn off the light, you win a prize. 3 tries for a buck.
Come on, I want to do it. There you go. Okay.
She flicks the switch, but the bulb remains lit. She eyes him knowingly.
Well, that's obvious.
She unplugs the bulb, but it stays lit. Bradley holds up 2 fingers.
That's 2.
Her boyfriend unscrews the bulb, which still stays lit, then drops it as it burns his fingers.
Well, that's a stupid trick.
It's not a trick, man.
Come on. Freak.
Bye.
The girl keeps staring at him as they walk away. Lights flash on the Ferris wheel as Bradley pours himself a drink in his dilapidated old caravan full of mechanical toys.
Uh,
He sips his drink as he turns on the hundreds of light bulbs attached to the ceiling and smiles as he controls a model train set.
Show's over! I said, show's over!
Victor looms out of the darkness and towers over him.
The show's never over for us, Bradley.
Victor.
Aren't you going to invite me in?
Yeah. Come on in.
All his toys have slowed and stopped. Victor enters and bumps his head on a bulb. He idly flicks bulbs with a claw as Bradley stands nervously.
You know, I've never said anything to anyone about what happened.
I'm living a totally different life now, Victor. No need to bring up the past.
Victor unscrews a bulb which remains lit and stares at it. His claws extend around the thin glass. The filament fades and flickers.
You know, I always thought it would be weird to come knocking at my door.
Well, Wade's gone.
Bradley sits down as Victor advances.
I'm not afraid of you, Victor. Not afraid of dying.
Bradley sips his whiskey.
How do you know? You've never tried it before.
All the lights go out across the fairground. James wakes up violently. His girlfriend stares at him in shock. His bone claws are out. He looks at his hand and they retract.
Was it the wars? Which one?
All of them.
He wipes a hand wearily across his face and she comes back to bed.
Tell me.
Hey.
She's been scratched.
It's just a scratch.
She pushes him back and lies with her head on his chest.
Looks like we're gonna need new sheets again, baby.
Yeah.
James works in the logging yard, sucking on an unlit cigar as he stacks planks. A jeep arrives at the rain-soaked, muddy site. As his hard-hatted colleague stops work and stares, James frowns, hearing the jeep's approach behind him. Stryker gets out of the jeep.
Who the hell is this?
It smells like government.
He chomps down on his stogie, turns, and picks up an axe.
My God, have an age today.
Clean living.
Remember Agent Zero?
Still shooting first, asking questions later.
Zero shoots the end off the cigar.
You still chewing on cheap cigars?
Boys, please. I have a job.
I already have a job.
Lumberjack. 18 grand a year?
18.5. Plus, I haven't had to kill anyone in a while.
Starting to miss it.
Right about now, I am.
Yeah?
Zero, back to the car.
James raises a mocking eyebrow at his former teammate.
Attaboy.
You know, I'm not proud about the way things ended between us.
Conversation's over.
Playing Little House on the Prairie with a school teacher. I mean, that just isn't you, Logan.
And you would know, huh?
I would.
What do you want, Stryker?
Bradley was killed 3 days ago. Wait, before that, I believe that someone is hunting down our old team.
Anyone else?
As far as I know, Victor is safe. But whoever it is has names, addresses.
I can take care of myself.
This is not about you, Logan. Your country needs you.
I'm Canadian.
I know you, Logan! I know who you are!
James, also Logan, drives his pickup away down the dusty forest road. Children emerge from a small wooden schoolhouse with a Canadian flag flying outside. Logan watches as his girlfriend Kayla smiles and attends to the kids. He watches a youngster run to their father and sits thoughtfully at the wheel of his truck. They drive the forest road back to their cabin.
What's wrong?
Stryker came by today. Don't worry, I said no.
Why is he bothering you after all these years?
Because I'm the best there is at what I do. But what I do best isn't very nice.
You're not an animal, Logan. What you have is a gift.
A gift? You can return a gift.
He drives, looking fixedly ahead. The road becomes misty as they gain altitude. Then they come to a halt as two trucks are blocking a bridge ahead.
Come on, fellas.
Stay in the car.
I'm just going to ask nicely.
He approaches the man who gave him the bird.
Mind letting us go by?
In some kind of a hurry there, pal.
Hey.
Are you?
Just move your truck so we can go.
I'm trying to have a conversation there. Right. If you start something, you better be ready to fist.
Hey, guys, take it easy. Calm down.
She touches him and he mellows, wrenching his fist out of Logan's grip.
Your boyfriend's got a big mouth.
I know. Big temper, too. So please let us pass.
Logan frowns, noticing how she's staring into the man's eyes.
Thank you.
How'd you do that?
Female powers of persuasion. It's a gift.
I see. Do you, have those powers over me?
We didn't stay in the car, did you?
He grins and gets back behind the wheel. They continue up the dusty road with snow-capped mountains in the background. Lights burn in the cabin and a silvery full moon glows in the night sky.
Why is the moon so lonely?
Why?
Because she used to have a lover.
You tell this to the kids?
No. His name was Kwekawatsu, and they lived in the spirit world together.
Oh, that's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And every night, they would wander the skies together. But one of the other spirits was jealous. Mm. Trickster wanted the moon for himself. So he told Kwekawatsu that the moon had asked for flowers. He told him to come to our world and pick her some wild roses. But Kwekawatsu didn't know that once you leave the spirit world, you can never go back. And every night, he looks up in the sky and sees the moon and howls her name. But he can never touch her again.
Wow. Cuckoo Kachu got screwed.
Kwekawatsu.
She grins and affectionately caresses his neatly bearded chin.
Means the Wolverine.
Logan gazes lovingly into her eyes. The rising sun blazes orange, emerging from behind a mountaintop. Logan's chainsaw bites into a large tree, which starts to fall. A pickup drives in sunshine along the forest road. Logan and his team are cutting branches off the felled tree. The pickup continues up the sunny road. Kayla's at the wheel. A large figure is standing in the road ahead of her. She stops and stares. Logan turns his head, sensing something, sniffing the air. Kayla looks afraid as Victor approaches the pickup. Making his way through the trees, Logan comes across the severed head of a wolverine on the ground.
What's she doing, Logan?
Victor approaches the pickup. Logan frowns and scans the area. A tree has deep claw marks slashed into it. Logan starts to run. Victor's claws extend and cut through the truck's bonnet like butter. Logan runs like the wind through the forest as Kayla stares up at Victor. Logan stops, looks around, and spots the pickup. The truck's empty. Then he spots the claw marks on the bonnet. He looks around, then runs off through the trees. He stops, seeing something on the ground ahead. He stares open-mouthed at a body on the ground. With mounting fear, he approaches the body, kneels down next to the blood-stained corpse, and strokes Kayla's dark hair. He touches her neck, trying in vain to find a pulse. He lifts Kayla's body and cradles her in his arms. His roar echoes across the vast forest. Victor's in a dingy bar, scratching at the dirty wooden bar top. He's scratched a smiley face into the wood. The barman approaches him.
You're not from around here, are you?
What came your way? You got insurance in this place?
Insurance? No.
Too bad.
The barman looks worried. Victor closes his eyes, composing himself, as Logan bursts in. Logan stands, looking murderously at his brother.
Well, well, well. Look what the cat dragged in.
Guys, whatever this is, take it outside.
Logan's bone claws extend, and people start to leave the bar. Victor grins.
Why? Why? You don't call. You don't write. How else am I supposed to get your attention?
Victor's claws extend, and they eyeball one another. They charge, then fly through the air, colliding with enough force to smash right through the bar's wooden wall. Logan sent flying, spinning into a pile of tree trunks. Victor has the upper hand, slashing at Logan and sending him flying into the bucket of a bulldozer.
I hate to say it, Jimmy, but frankly, I'm a little disappointed. Stay down.
Logan goes on the offensive, slashing at Victor, but gets turned, and his brother's claws punch into his chest. Logan stays on his feet, and they stand locked together. Logan rams his claws into Victor's midriff and lifts him over his head, throwing him onto a pile of logs. As Logan rushes towards the stack, Victor makes it collapse, the huge tree trunks burying Logan. Victor climbs down and lifts a tree off his brother. He lifts Logan up, holding him by his shirt.
Tell me something, Jimmy. Was she worth it?
He tosses Logan at an oncoming truck. Logan bounces off the cargo of timber and lies still on the ground.
When are you going to figure it out? We're not like them. Sure you are. You just don't know it yet.
Victor stamps on Logan's claws, breaking them off, and walks away. Later, Logan's in hospital.
What do we got?
Bar fight. Multiple knife wounds.
What, is this a joke?
Guy's fine.
Where is he? Where is he?
I don't know who he is.
I can help you.
It's Stryker. Logan has Stryker by the throat.
6 years I've been here. No one knew me, and then you show up, and the next day she's dead.
I tried to warn you.
Why didn't you tell me it was Victor?
I didn't know. die! I swear on my son's life, I don't know.
Logan releases his grip and Stryker collapses to the floor.
Victor's appetites were becoming too public. I had to lock him up. He felt I betrayed him. Went AWOL. Said he was coming after all of us.
You didn't come to warn me. You came to save your own ass.
So what's your plan, Captain? You can't beat him, Logan. You know you can't.
I'm gonna find him and kill him.
Logan strides away furiously.
I can give you the tools to defeat him.
The statement gets Logan's attention, and he turns round.
We can still save the others.
You mean save yourself, right?
I promise you two things. You will suffer more pain than any other man can endure. But you will have your revenge.
Stryker smiles as Logan glares at him.
I come with you. I'm coming for blood. No law. No code of conduct. You point me in the right direction, you get the hell out of my way.
Logan's eyes bore into Stryker. A helicopter flies down a misty mountain valley. Sheer rock walls tower above the chopper, and a waterfall plummets into a lake far below. The helicopter flies close to the precipice, which is covered in lush foliage. There's a door in the rock at the top of the waterfall which tumbles down the cliff, landing in a haze of spray in the lake. Bubbles rise to the surface in a large glass-sided tank. Logan lies naked on a grill covered by a towel above the tank. He's being injected with a large needle.
When it starts, whatever the reason is that you're doing this, focus on that. Maybe it will help.
Trust me, I've been through worse.
No, you haven't. We're ready.
Stryker nods to the white-coated doctor.
We're going to make you indestructible. But first, we're going to have to destroy you.
He walks slowly around Logan.
You remember what we were looking for in Africa?
I remember.
Well, I found it. It helped us create a metal compound so strong that you will be able to withstand virtually anything. It's called adamantium. I can't put Victor down myself, Logan. Kill him. You're gonna have to embrace the other side. Become the animal.
Let's do this.
I almost forgot.
He holds up Logan's dog tags.
I want new ones.
What do you want him to say?
Frowning, Logan stares at the ceiling.
Wolverine.
The new tags are stamped with a name and a serial number. With the tags resting on his hairy chest, Logan is connected to breathing apparatus. Technicians monitor equipment on a balcony level above the tank. The helicopter takes off from a rock helipad and a group of men enter the mountain facility.
Generals, welcome.
Munson.
Today, we're going to witness medical history. Today, we're going to create Weapon X.
X. Roman numeral.
We're about to begin bonding adamantium to Weapon X's skeleton. Let's begin.
Logan is lowered into the tank. The doctor monitors his vital signs on a screen. Logan looks up at Stryker and the generals as the water closes over his head. Equipment is activated and thick fluid bubbles into tubes. Switches labeled needle enable, engage, are pressed. The max button is pressed on the needle regulator, and rows of needles glow red hot, bubbling as they're lowered into the tank. An X-ray scan shows the hot needles being lowered towards Logan's body. His eyes widen as he watches them approach. Stryker nods to the doctor. Logan's eyes widen further as the needles plunge into his body. The X-ray shows hot fluid flowing into his skull. Images flash from his past.
Body temperature 108 rising.
Why is he thrashing like that? Why isn't he sedated?
He feels pain, just like the rest of us. But anesthesia won't work on him. That's why he had to volunteer.
Heart rate 190. 195.
Will he survive this?
I don't know.
200.
Logan's bones glow hot in the X-ray.
Son.
Heart rate well beyond maximum.
Blood pressure.
260 over 180 and rising.
He can make it. He can make it.
Logan's body twitches in agony as the hot adamantium flows into his bones. A As he focuses on Kayla's murder, his heart rate goes over 300 beats a minute.
I love you. You're not an animal.
His heart races and bubbles rise from the hot needles embedded in his face. He sees blurred images of Victor and Kayla. It
means the Wolverine.
His heart stops beating, and he lies still in the tank. Stryker stares impassively as the X-ray monitor shows Logan's skeleton cooling. His heart rate is 0 beats per minute. The generals and the medical team stare at the steam rising from the tank.
Well, I guess I can't die.
Agent Zero wears a half smile as the heart monitor continues to trace a flat line. Stryker turns away from the scene and raises a worried hand to his mouth. A trace appears on the heart monitor. The team look at one another, and Stryker stares in amazement. The water in the tank continues to boil. The generals watch without emotion, and Stryker stares at the tank.
Come on, old friend. Come back.
Heart rate rising.
Adamantium reservoir is depleted.
No rejection. Procedure completed.
We did it.
We did it.
Stryker turns away again, this time in triumph.
Yes.
We're taking him to the island?
The island? No. Bonding works. We'll use his DNA for the 11. Erase his memory.
One of the doctors frowns on hearing this.
Erase his memory.
Logan also hears it, and his eyes flick open. Images of his past flash, and he thrashes in the tank. His claws, now adamantium, shoot out of his knuckles.
I think he heard you.
He bursts out of the tank. Zero's bullets bounce off Logan's alloy skull.
Lockdown!
Logan jumps naked out of the tank and tears into the nearby technicians, his claws sparking on the metal equipment. The metal claws punch, then slice through the heavy steel door to the facility as if it were paper. Wolverine steps outside and stares at his new weapons. He jumps off the clifftop falls, plunging into the watery abyss. Inside, Stryker hangs his head grimly, then turns to Zero.
Hunt him down. Take his head off.
Zero turns away dispassionately as the generals continue to watch without expression. A pickup drives across a low bridge spanning a wide, half-dry riverbed. The aging vehicle carrying an elderly couple heads down a gravel track through woodland and green fields with mountains in the background. They turn off onto a smaller track heading towards a farm.
Travis.
The woman spots the muscled Logan as he sprints at high speed across in front of them, leaps a fence, and enters an old wooden barn.
I think there's a naked man in the barn.
Yeah.
Travis nudges open the barn door with a shotgun and enters cautiously. There's a motorbike parked inside and farm equipment hanging on the walls. Travis advances slowly, shotgun at the ready. Swings the gun around, spotting Logan crouching in a corner.
Son, what in the hell are you doing?
It's cold.
Cold. You got no clothes on.
Yeah.
You're not on the drugs, are you?
No.
No, just had a rough night. Going up the house. Some of my son's old clothes will probably fit you. Here. Carpet up with that. don't want you giving the old lady a heart attack.
He throws Logan a sack, gives a wry smile, and walks off. Lights burn in the farmhouse at night. Logan stands fully clothed in front of a mirror and clasps his right forearm. His new foot-long claws shoot out of his knuckles. He runs a finger along a blade, carefully touching the razor-sharp tip. He compares both sets of blades, jumping as they spark when they touch. He jumps, accidentally cutting through the shelf and basin beneath the mirror and the radiator tap.
You right in there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Supper's on the table.
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute.
Frowning, Travis walks back down the corridor. Logan meekly enters the kitchen, holding a broken half of wash basin.
I swear I'm gonna pay for it.
Set it down over there.
Logan places the half basin on a worktop.
Come and sit down, son.
He sits down at the table, which is laden with food.
Can't thank you both enough for everything.
Wouldn't have been decent to leave you out there to freeze.
Decent?
What?
Nothing. I'm just not really used to that word. That's a nice chopper you've got out there.
You know, a motorcycle.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
My favorite's a 48 panhead. Old one new off the line.
I think you're a little young for that, son.
You must be exhausted. You get a good night's sleep.
In the barn. Nothing you can break out there.
The two men smile at one another, and Logan looks thoughtful. In the barn, he sits thinking.
Why is the moon so lonely?
Why?
Because she used to have a lover. He can never touch her again.
He's sitting thoughtfully on the bike as sunlight filters into the barn. Travis comes into the barn.
You sleep okay?
Yeah.
You look like a man fixing to do a bad thing. You know what happens to men who go looking for blood?
What?
They find it.
Logan eyes him, frowning.
We all got a choice, son.
Well, mine got taken.
Bullshit.
The two study one another.
This was my son's jacket. Try it on.
Logan tries on the leather bike jacket, which has yellow bands on the sleeves and a yellow panel at the bottom at the back. The jacket's a perfect fit.
Thank you.
Yep. I'm gonna take my bike for a spin. Test the suspension.
64, huh?
As he sits, the bike sinks down dramatically.
Man, you're heavy.
Yeah, I put on a little weight recently.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh. It fits you beautifully. I brought you some...
Shots hit the breakfast tray. Heather in the back, then Travis in the chest. Logan catches the old man as he falls. Agent Zero's on a hilltop in the distance.
Weapon X is in the barn. He's just murdered two civilians.
Blow him to bits. Let's see if he can survive that.
A chopper heads for the barn as Logan slumps down, still holding Travis. The helicopter brings its missile pods to bear on the old wooden structure. Barn's blown to smithereens, Logan roars out of the fireball on the bike.
Come get me!
The helicopter heads for Zero, who sprints across the hilltop, takes a flying leap, and lands on board. Logan races the bike across country, pursued by the helicopter.
Pull his brains all over the road!
Stryker monitors the chase on screen. As shots tear up the ground around the motorcycle, Logan roars into woodland. Rounds hammer into the trees and rocks around Logan and spark off the bike's chassis as he hurls it over rocks and fallen trees. The bike slides down a slope, then Logan makes a huge jump onto a leafy path.
Alpha One, do not lose him!
A Humvee joins the chase, running parallel to Logan, then jumping onto the same track.
Alpha 2, target coming to you!
Machine gun rounds pepper the track, and another Hummer jumps out just in front of the bike. As the gunner brings his weapon to bear, Logan roars past, slicing off the gun barrel and launching the gunner onto the road, where he almost gets run down by the second Hummer. As he opens the throttle, the helicopter looms over a crest ahead of him. Logan hurls the bike into a sliding turn, dragging the claws of his left hand along the ground as an additional brake. He races off, with the helicopter close behind. Rounds bursting around him and frowning grimly, he aims the bike straight for the oncoming Humvees. Claws out, he tears through the side of the lead vehicle and through its tires. It flips in the air, just missing the helicopter. The helicopter banks for another pass as Logan streaks towards the next Hummer. He leaps off the bike onto the roof of the vehicle, turning the machine gun on the helicopter. Zero launches a missile which hits the Hummer, catapulting Logan straight towards the helicopter. His claws slice through the rotors. He lands above the cockpit and plunges his claws through the thin steel, holding on. Logan leaps clear just before the helicopter slams into the ground, bursting into flames, rolling, and breaking up. Wrecked helicopter behind him, Logan picks himself up off the gravel road.
Zero. Zero, come in. Zero.
As he walks towards the wreckage, a wound on his forehead heals itself.
Zero, is Logan dead?
I don't know. I'm down.
Logan approaches the cockpit. The pilot's dead, and Zero's in a bad way.
Come in.
Logan grabs the radio headset.
You tried to kill me.
Logan?
Where's Victor?
Come back to base. I'll explain everything. We'll take Victor down together.
Wrong answer. After I kill Victor, I'm coming for you.
Stryker sits down nervously.
Logan, listen to me. If you go down this road, you're not going to like what you find.
You wanted the animal, Colonel. You got it.
He throws the headset aside and eyes Zero.
Those were good people back there. Innocent people.
Logan turns and walks away, leaving Zero trapped in the cockpit, laughing.
It's funny how good innocent people tend to die around you.
Claws out, he hits the ground, the spark setting light to a trail of unburnt fuel. Logan walks slowly away as the wreckage explodes in a vast fireball behind him. Stryker's handed a revolver and bullets in a case.
Zero never stood a chance. The only thing that'll take him down is an adamantium bullet.
Stryker examines one of the pointed bullets from the wooden case.
This facility's compromised. Prep transport.
As Logan rides down a straight woodland road in the sunshine, General Munson speaks to Stryker.
Colonel, this is turning into a disaster.
Don't worry, we'll stop him.
Really? You just spent $500 million, making him indestructible.
An aide enters the chamber.
Sir?
Yes?
The young mutant you've been looking for? We found him.
General, Logan is the only piece of this puzzle.
I need to evacuate this facility.
Please go back to Washington. We've got work to do.
A student's wearing dark glasses in class.
Yo hablo, I talk. Tú hablas,
You talk. Él habla. Somebody translate. Summers, sit up and take off those glasses.
I have a headache.
Then you can wear them in detention after school while you write out this conjugation 100 times. Somebody else?
He talks.
Thank you. He talks. Él habla.
Logan rides through the night towards the lights of Las Vegas. He meets up with Wraith in the cactus-filled office of his boxing gym called Spectre.
You sure it was Victor?
Yeah.
Wraith tosses Logan a beer.
Damn. I'm sorry, man.
Well, they all happened to him after I left.
He got worse. He felt like you abandoned him. Hell, we all did. Well, Victor, he had to prove he was better than you. Hunting and killing everything he was pointing at. Quit a few months later myself. Couldn't take rounding him up.
Rounding who up?
Leave it alone.
Rounding who up, John?
Hey, damn it, John.
We hunted our own kind, Logan. There's a special place in hell for the things we did.
Mutants? Why?
Stryker said we'd be making a difference. Protecting people from the bad ones.
He looks earnestly at Logan, and they sit down.
How you gonna take Victor down, Logan?
Remember that stuff in Africa?
Yeah, I remember Africa. What about it? Damn. What'd they do to you, man?
Don't ask. Listen, Zero said something about an island. Does that mean anything to you?
Nope. But maybe Dukes knows. Him and Zero are real tight.
Fred Dukes? Where is he?
He's here.
Well, let's go talk.
Hold on. He don't get into round four. But I gotta warn you. He developed a bit of eating disorder. We all got our coping mechanisms. I'm trying to whip him back into shape. Whatever you do, don't mention his weight.
Come on, Fred. You want to get in shape, you got to move, man. I told him you got to move.
A body flies out of the sparring ring.
Fred Dukes? That looks like the creature that ate Fred Dukes.
Hey, be nice, man.
Hey, Fat, Fred, seem to remember that girl when she was about 85 pounds, huh?
Huge Fred looks at the tattoo on his arm.
Oh, that's funny. You're still so funny, Logan.
You know where Victor is?
No idea.
What's the island, Slim?
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Logan.
Listen, I ain't leaving here till you tell me where Victor is. Come on, bub, for old time's sake, huh?
Did you just call me Blob?
No, but...
Fred body checks Logan so hard he flies across the gym.
I told you not to mention his weight. Why'd you call him Blob?
I didn't call him Blob. I said Bub. God damn it.
Hey, Logan. I got an idea.
This is your idea of an idea?
I'm trying to help you out, Logan. Dukes don't like you that much, and you don't.
Their feeling's mutual.
Use them gloves, man. Dance with them a little bit. Allow them to let his anger out on you. Figure if you do that, he'll probably tell you everything you want to know.
Come on, man. Look at him. Big old ass coming out the front of his shirt. Jesus, he's coming out of a coronary, for Christ's sake. Is there even a stretcher big enough to take this guy out of here?
It ain't him I'm worried about getting out of here on a stretcher.
I mean, you're an asshole.
Come on, Logan.
Whoop his ass. You want it?
Dance with him, Fred. Just like,
what's that supposed to do? You want to dance, brother?
Oh, that feels good.
Logan's blows are easily absorbed by Fred's mouth.
Hey, guess what?
So you gonna talk now? You got it right where you want it.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
Come on! Come on now, left chop!
Logan ducks two massive haymakers, dances round behind Fred, and launches his own attack. Wraith smiles as Logan goes down again. Fred goes for a headbutt. Logan's fine. Fred collapses, flattening the ropes. Logan's claws slide out through the boxing glove.
Now, where's Victor?
A figure in a long coat with clawed hands arrives at the school. Scott Summers is writing out lines on the chalkboard. He's still wearing his dark glasses. Seeing the clawed figure at the window, he runs out of the classroom and down a corridor. Victor bursts through double doors ahead of him. Scott falls and scrambles backwards away from him.
A little dark for sunglasses, don't you think?
Scott sprints off as Victor grins unpleasantly and gives chase, bounding off the walls. Victor grabs him, and the lad's glasses come off. Energy blasts from his eyes, cutting right through the building and shooting a beam of red light into the sky.
Oh, please don't! Please don't!
Victor!
Victor looks up at Stryker. Logan slaps Fred's face.
Hey! Hey! Where's Victor?
Victor's with Stryker on the island. They run it together.
What? You know what? Victor will be with Stryker?
Yeah. He didn't know that.
Logan frowns pensively, then gets up and moves away from the big guy, pacing angrily around the boxing ring. Victor holds Scott down by the back of the neck as Stryker sedates him.
All that's left now is Logan. I trust you can handle that.
I did before, didn't I?
Oh, yes. You did that.
Victor looks round at the colonel.
Our deal, it still applies, right?
Of course. Now pack him and tag him, Captain.
The colonel, who is examining the fiery cut in the corridor's walls and ceiling, casually walks off. Logan tries to stay calm.
What's the island?
It's where Stryker takes him after Victor's caught him.
Takes who?
Mutants. The rumor is that Stryker's doing experiments on them. They're... You never wondered what happened to them?
I tried not to.
Logan's frown deepens, and he stares at his own clenched fist. His head droops. Then he looks around with a look of horrified realization.
I'd let them put adamantium in me. They killed every goddamn experiment.
Wraith glances at the slumped Fred, then Logan strides up to the big man.
Where is it? Where is it?
Logan, Stryker kept it real secret.
The gleaming claws extend towards Fred's face.
But, a prisoner escaped there once.
Who?
His name was Remy LeBeau. He was a street hustler from New Orleans. The guards at the prison called him Gambit because he kept taking all their money at poker. That's all I know.
What's Stryker up to, Fred? What's the end game?
He's taking their powers. Trying to combine them somehow. That's all I know, Logan. That's all I know.
If I have to come back here, I'm going to take your head off.
I'm coming with you, Logan.
There's no redemption where I'm going.
I ain't asking.
They stride out of the gym, leaving Fred stranded in the ring. Two motorcycles ride along an elevated freeway at night. They cross a bridge over a river towards downtown New Orleans and make their way through the dense crowds in the brightly lit French Quarter. A street sign reads Rue Bourbon. Wolverine and Wraith enter a dimly lit club.
As I do.
At a gaming table, a guy is juggling playing cards with impossible skill.
That's cool. I'm gonna go cover the bad Casey Rabbits.
I'm not gonna fight with him.
Yeah, right.
What? You get in fights with everybody?
Don't dogs kill cats?
Just go cover the bat, will you?
Logan grins and approaches the card table.
Give me 500.
He studies the game as Wraith goes round the other side.
Are you Remy LeBeau?
Do I owe you money?
No.
Then Remy LeBeau I am.
The young guy with a mocking expression removes his hat and invites Logan to take a seat. Wraith steps outside onto a wrought iron balcony. He surveys the alley and street below. Removing his dark glasses, he notices a figure in a long coat in the trash-filled alley.
Large blinds 100, small blinds 50. May I deal you in?
What can we get for $17?
$17. A cab ride home, perhaps.
Wraith materializes at the end of the alley. Victor's behind him.
You my brother's new babysitter, John?
I ain't Bradley, Victor. And the creepy black coat don't scare me.
Really? Worked on Dukes.
Shouldn't have done that. Now I'm gonna kill you before Logan even gets a chance.
So what brings you to our fair city, sir?
Victor Creed.
Remy looks nervous as he flicks a card.
And who's that?
The man I'm gonna kill. Works with a man named Stryker on the island. Just need to know where it is.
Why would you think I know that?
Well, because I know who you are, Gambit. You're the guy who escaped, and you're the guy who's gonna take me back there.
Remy sits back in the shadows.
You know, John, there's something I always wanted to tell you.
Ray punches, then teleports, but Victor's claws slam into his midriff as he rematerializes.
You're predictable. Ooh. I can feel your spine, Johnny boy. That's funny. Never knew you had one.
Victor withdraws his claws and Wraith collapses.
Those are mighty nice tags you have on there, sir. The men who took me wore tags just like them.
Remy's fingertips and eyes glow red.
Now, Bub, you listen to me.
Remy hurls a playing card with enough force to knock Logan across the room. He fans out more cards in the air in slow motion, then releases them with the force of machine gun rounds, hurling Logan right through a brick wall and outside. Victor's hunched over Wraith's body with a hypodermic. As he picks himself up, Logan spots Victor and Wraith's dead body.
I rode in that hole and I never.
He gets an adamantium elbow to the face.
Ooh. Shiny. Tell me something, Jimmy. Do you even know how to kill me?
I'm gonna cut your goddamn head off. See if that works.
They charge at each other, Victor bounding like a cat. Logan ducks, and Victor goes sprawling.
Getting slow, old man.
Logan punches his claws through Victor's hand, then into his shoulder.
Son of a bitch. You're gonna die for what you did to her.
Remy runs along a roof, then leaps, twirling a cane over his head. On landing, a kinetic blast destroys the street and sends the fighting brothers flying. Victor picks himself up and stares at Remy. As Logan gets up and eyeballs his brother, Victor starts to slink away, then breaks into a run.
Victor!
Remy slams his cane down again, then attacks Logan and knocks him over.
That's a nice stick.
Logan retracts two claws, leaving only the middle one showing, then attacks, cutting the cane in two and kicking Remy back. They tangle again, and this time Remy sends Logan sprawling, then gets away by climbing a building, slamming his two canes into the wall like climbing axes. Remy runs up a vertical wall and in slow motion leaps right across the alley, landing on the fire escape of a building opposite. Logan follows him on the ground. Logan claws the fire escape, shredding it from the bottom up in showers of sparks. A final slash sends it and Remy crashing to the ground. Strides to the dazed youngster and grabs him by the scruff of the neck.
Okay, shit, here's the deal. So you're gonna take me to this island where I can kill Creed, Stryker, and pretty much everyone you hate in this world, you understand?
You really gonna kill him?
As long as you stay out of my way, yeah.
Remy stares thoughtfully at Logan. A boy is cryogenically frozen in a glass-fronted tank. Stryker wipes some frost off the glass to get a better look at him.
Colonel.
General.
Is this Weapon 11?
All their strengths and none of their weaknesses.
You really hate them, don't you?
No, I don't hate them. After 20 years of working with mutants, I just know what they can do.
Munson's looking at a body on a stretcher clamped in a metal frame, its mouth sewn shut.
You can win this war before it starts and save countless lives in the process. Preemptive action is the only action here, General. The days of our country sitting on the sidelines are over. We need to take the fight to the enemy before they take the fight to us.
I admire your passion, I do.
Thank you.
But this is as far as it goes.
Weapon X was a hiccup.
We know about your son, Bill. We know he's a mutant, and we know he killed your wife. You shouldn't have kept that from us.
That has nothing to do with my work.
Bullshit. You're too close to this. I'm shutting you down.
Okay. You're right. I won't lie to you. My son did bring the problem home for me. But I took an oath to protect the American people from every threat, both foreign.
Stryker picks up an adamantium surgical blade and stabs the general, then wipes the knife clean.
And domestic.
A float plane flies through a cloudy night sky. On board, Logan holds on nervously.
Don't like flying, huh?
I'm fine. Just concentrate on what you're doing.
You sure you got a bit of sweat on your brother?
Very funny. Just keep your eyes on them.
On the what? The clouds?
Keep your eyes down on the like clouds? A freaking yo-yo in here. Where'd you get this thing anyway?
Oh, this is my baby. I want to earn a game. Jack's over five.
Great.
Relax. We're almost there.
Grinning, Remy banks the old plane into the darkness.
There it is, the island. 3 Mile Island. Hiding in plain sight. No one's gonna snoop around a nuclear reactor. They think it's gonna turn them into freaks.
Like you?
Right. All right, you ready? It's now or never, let's go.
About time.
Logan gets out of his seat and opens the plane door as Rennie circles the old nuclear accident site. Logan looks down at the Susquehanna River below.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, is this really gonna hurt?
Well, yeah, it kinda does, actually.
Good luck.
Likewise.
Logan jumps out and bounces across the water like a skimming stone towards the plant's illuminated cooling towers.
How you doing? Everything all right? You ready yet?
A few more hours.
And he will respond to my commands?
Absolutely.
A surgical team are working on the body on the table, its eyes clamped open. An adamantium claw slices through a door lock and Logan enters the facility, looking around cautiously. White-coated technicians are dragging an unconscious boy across a grimy, dimly lit chamber. He's blindfolded. Logan hides, looks up and sees light in a glass-walled room above him. The technicians take their prisoner through a heavy steel-barred gate. Logan looks up a winding steel stairwell, then climbs the stairs. Stony-faced, he walks into the surgical area and approaches the white-gowned doctors engrossed in their work. There's a row of monitors on the wall, showing CCTV of the facility. Through large windows, Logan looks down at the chamber he started from and notices the iron gates leading to a block of brightly lit cells, Strikers with the surgeons.
Logan, welcome back to the war.
Before I gut you, I want to know why.
I needed your powers for the pool.
The what?
The mutant killer. Deadpool. Years of searching and refining, finding the right powers that can coexist in one body without ripping it apart. My son was the first piece of the puzzle. Logan, you were the last. You made Weapon 11 possible. I asked you to help, but... Said you wanted the quiet life. Well, I've learned that nothing motivates the men in your family like revenge.
With a half smile, Stryker sits on a desk and looks calmly at Logan as a woman enters the room. Logan looks round. It's Kayla.
Who are you?
Oh, she's a real old friend.
Logan sinks to one knee, struggling for control as Kayla eyes him without emotion, and Victor watches from outside the room.
Do you really think we'd just let you walk away? You're a dangerous man. We like to keep an eye on dangerous men. Tell him about the day you died.
Kayla ignores Logan and looks calmly at Stryker.
They gave me a shot of hydrochlorothiazide. It reduces the heart rate so low it appears you flatline.
In flashback, Victor pours blood over Kayla's body, and grief-stricken, Logan cradles her in his arms.
Don't be angry with her. She's a real credit to your species. Did you know that her sister has a diamond hard skin? Kayla's mutation is tactohypnosis. She can influence people as long as she touches them. Quite a useful tool in a seduction. It was never real, my friend.
Kayla steps forward to protest, but Stryker shows her he has a gun.
It was real for me.
Told you if you came down this road, you wouldn't like what you found.
There are tears in Kayla's eyes. Logan frowns in pain, and Victor watches the scene calmly from outside the large windows.
The story you told me about the man who gets flowers for the moon. I had it backwards. I thought you were the moon and I was your Wolverine. But you're the trickster, aren't you? I'm just the fool who got played. The worst part of it is I should have known. And I ignored my instincts. I ignored what I really am. And that won't ever happen again.
Jaw set, Logan stands up and turns to Stryker. He then walks out past Kayla, who turns and watches him leave. She looks back at Stryker with tears glistening on her cheeks as Logan bursts out of the building and strides across the lit-up nighttime compound.
Colonel?
Not now, Kayla.
I've done everything you've asked. My sister. You said if I helped you, you'd let her go.
Kayla, it's not as simple as that. Her mutation is unique. Quite beautiful. We just need a little more time to analyze it, that's all.
You let him go.
Victor drops down from the ceiling.
Victor, please.
You can't let him go.
You can't beat him, Victor.
Give me the adamantium.
Teskin.
We had a deal!
You would never survive the operation.
I can take anything he can.
No, you can't. You're my favorite soldier, Victor. Be patient. Your time will come.
He's using us.
She runs towards them, and Victor lifts her up by the throat. Logan stops in his tracks.
This time, you die for real.
Go.
She clutches his arm.
Your little mind games don't work on me.
Victor!
Stripped to his vest, claws out, Logan charges as Victor drops Kayla. The adamantium plunges into Victor's chest and they grapple as Kayla hides. Logan throws Victor to one side, then kicks him savagely when he's down, sending him skidding across the floor. He plunges both claws into his brother's body, and they smash through the windows. Logan lands on top of Victor and slowly withdraws his claws from his chest, holding them at his throat.
Feels good, doesn't it? All that rage.
Logan! You're not an animal.
Yes, you are. Do it. Finish it.
Logan wrestles with his emotions, then retracts his claws. He knocks Victor out with an adamantium fist, then pulls the left-hand claws out of his brother's chest. He stands and walks away from Victor, his head in his hands.
Logan? My sister. They have my sister. Please, I didn't trick you into loving me. It was real for me, too.
Logan frowns, full of mistrust.
Please, I'm so sorry. They have my sister.
Where is she?
She looks towards the cell block, and they head for it at a run. Stryker looks around in alarm.
Activate weapon 11.
The bonding process isn't complete.
Just do it. Now!
Kayla pulls a lever opening the iron gates, and they enter the block full of people in cages, some restrained. The doctor operates the equipment to activate weapon 11 and pulls the sheet off him. He flexes a fist on a bandaged arm. In the cages, one youngster is gagged, another pale and intense. One moves slowly in an icy cell. One transforms into a whirlwind, another thrashes against elastic restraints with super-fast intensity. Logan frowns angrily as he surveys the scene and starts to slash the locks off the cages. His claws spark. As arms outstretched, he runs down the cage corridor, cutting through the imprisoning metal. He turns and watches the prisoners emerge, seeing Kayla embracing her sister.
Come on!
The sisters run towards Logan. He looks stern, but as they stop in front of him, his claws are retracted, and he's holding out his hand to Kayla. She smiles and takes it. The three of them lead off the crowd of young mutants as Stryker storms into an office and checks a bank of CCTV screens. As he watches, large double doors open ahead of the escaping group, revealing Weapon 11, standing hollow-eyed and still covered with the black markings to guide the surgeons. Logan extends his claws, and Weapon 11 extends single long adamantium swords from his fists.
Okay. Perfect. Kayla, get these kids out of here.
Logan?
Find another way out.
Wait, is that you?
He's hairless, hollow-eyed, with his mouth sewn shut.
Your Stryker finally figured out how to shut you up.
As they face one another, Stryker types the word engage on his keyboard. Wade advances on Logan.
Wade, you don't have to do this. All right, maybe you do.
Wade leaps phalletically into the fight, and they exchange blows. Logan punches his claws into Wade's stomach, but the wounds immediately heal. Logan sends spinning through the air and lands heavily.
Shoot on sight!
Guards open fire on the escaping group, led by Kayla and her sister, who turns herself to Diamond and blocks the bullets.
I can help! Let me at him!
Go.
Diamond Emma leads blindfold Scott across the field of fire as Wade slides on his knees to attack Logan. Scott stands behind Emma, who shields him.
Go, now!
Scott lifts his blindfold and his fiery optic blast obliterates the guard's position.
Did I get him?
Yeah.
Wade slashes Logan in the back and knocks him down with a flying kick. Logan flips back onto his feet, claws sparking as they scrape the floor.
Let's go.
I can't go.
Kayla, come on!
I have to stay here. You take them. Go! Go!
Emma looks in disbelief at her sister, then leads the group away. Kayla looks down and touches her side. There's blood on her hand. Stryker watches Wade on screen as he crosses the compound and watches Logan climbing a vast cooling tower in the pale light of dawn. Emma leads the escapers down a long stone corridor until they reach a junction. She hesitates. Scott bows his head, sensing something.
Go left.
What?
We go left.
You can't see.
Trust me.
Emma looks at him in disbelief as Scott leads the way. Straining with the effort, Logan reaches the top of the cooling tower. He looks down at Wade far below and beckons to him.
Listen, your dad's up here.
Then looks resigned as Weapon 11 teleports up next to him. He strikes. Wade dematerializes and Logan loses his balance, nearly falling into the tower. Wade reappears and stabs Logan through the chest. They trade more blows, then Wade throws Logan, leaps up, and plunges both swords right through his adversary's back into the concrete. Stryker smiles and types the word decapitate into his keyboard. Wade raises a blade to strike, then both adversaries are knocked off the edge of the tower by a flying Victor. Wade discorporates, and Victor holds on to Logan.
Nobody kills you but me.
He hauls his brother back onto the lip of the tower. As Victor half smiles, Wade appears between them and both go flying, dematerializing before either can strike.
Back to back! I got him!
Oh, no, you don't.
Wade leaps and spins, appearing then disappearing with incredible speed, attacking both brothers at will. Victor gets a sword to the gut, but then succeeds in grabbing Wade by the throat, gets run through, but Logan plunges his claws into Wade's back before he discorporates again, reforming on the opposite side of the tower. Weapon 11's eye sockets go black, his eyes glow red, and he fires an optic blast at the brothers. He fires again, and Logan blocks the blast with his claws, the energy forming a bright red line across the top of the cooling tower. With a final mighty effort, Logan manages to turn the blast back on Wade, sending him flying and knocking himself off into space. He plunges his white-hot claws into the side of the tower to save himself. Victor bounds up to Wade, but gets blown back by another optic blast. Wade discorporates, reappearing right in front of him. He blasts Victor at point-blank range. Logan leaps at Wade from behind, hot claws slashing as Weapon 11 turns. Victor stares as Wade, still blasting, clutches at his neck. Logan kicks him in the back and he drops into the tower, his head coming away from his body, eyes still firing, cutting through the tower wall in a descending spiral. Emma's group are running down a passageway.
Stop! This can't be the way.
This is the way.
How do you know?
I just know. Come on.
Stryker takes the revolver with the adamantium bullets out of its case and opens the chamber. The doctor walks in.
Adamantium bullets. Let's see him here with a few of these through his thick skull.
You can't stop him, even with that. He'll heal.
His brain may heal. But his memories won't grow back.
On top of the cooling tower, which is beginning to crumble, Logan breathes heavily, then holds out his hand to Victor, who's lying at the bottom of the hole in the lip of the tower made by Wade's optic blast. He helps his brother out.
This doesn't change anything between us, Victor.
We're done.
We could never be done, Jimmy. We're brothers, and brothers look out for each other.
Logan gasps as Victor leaps off the tower, plummeting down through the dust of the crumbling concrete. Logan nearly loses his balance as the tower sways, and he follows Victor, leaping into the void. He makes a dent in the ground as he lands, the tower disintegrating above him. His eyes widen as a vast chunk of concrete heads right for him. A figure leaps up and smashes the concrete. Remy lands and looks around mischievously at Logan.
You miss me?
Jesus. You know, when you said you were gonna kill everyone, I thought you may just have been exaggerating.
Yeah. Do I look like a man who exaggerates?
You're welcome.
Logan. Logan.
Concerned, Logan tries to focus through the swirling dust.
This kid's trying to get off the island. Split up. Go.
I'm on it.
Remy runs off, and Logan makes his way through the debris of the tower.
Kayla! Kayla!
She's slumped on the ground, clutching her midriff. He looks in shock at her wound as she stares up at him and strokes his face with her hand.
I love you.
She leans forward and they kiss tearfully and tenderly.
I'm so cold.
Listen to me. I'm gonna get you out of here. Understand? Let's go easy. Nice and easy. That's it. I'm gonna get you help.
Carrying her in his arms, he walks through the ruined rubble of the cooling tower towards the sunrise and Raimi's floatplane moored nearby. Logan falls with two of Stryker's bullets in his back. He turns and charges. He runs up a ramp of fallen concrete and leaps at Stryker. The bullets hit him in the forehead. He drops and lies still. Stryker walks slowly across and stands over him, the gun pointed at Logan's head. Stryker walks away, leaving Logan lying flat on his back. He walks over to Kayla, who looks up at him as he takes aim. She reaches out, touching his leg, and he slowly turns the gun on himself, placing the muzzle under his chin.
I should make you pull the trigger. But that would make us no better than you. Throw the gun away. Turn around. Walk until your feet bleed. And then keep walking.
Stryker turns and walks away through the dust. Kayla watches him go, then looks up at the sky. Scott and Emma's group emerge from an underground passage and out into the open air. A helicopter stands in a wooded clearing ahead of them. A ramp is lowered, and a man in a long brown coat with a shaven head descends.
It will be all right, Scott. My name is Charles Xavier. I'm a mutant, like you.
I can hear your thoughts.
Yes, and I can hear yours. You're safe now. Come, we have to go.
Come on, let's go.
They all run towards the helicopter and the smiling Dr. Xavier. A short distance behind, Raimi emerges from the underground passage and smiles as he watches them go. Logan lies still amid the dust and rubble, with two bullet holes in his forehead. His eyes flicker open, and he frowns, looking confused. He picks himself up and looks around in a daze. He sees the dog tags hanging on his chest and examines the names, Logan and Wolverine, stamped on them.
The kids are safe.
Logan frowns at Raimi. One bullet hole is healed, the other remains.
Damn. Who are you? What do you mean, who am I? I'm the guy who brought you here. Now we gotta go.
Logan grabs him.
Where the hell am I? Listen to me. I'm a friend. I'm a friend.
Yeah. What's my name?
What's my name? Your name is Logan. To trust me, we have to go.
Logan, still frowning, releases him.
Follow me.
Now!
Raimi jogs off, followed by Logan, who stops and stares as they approach Kayla's body. Logan approaches her, still frowning, his forehead now completely healed.
He
He kneels down, touching her neck, feeling for a pulse. Remy watches him with concern.
Do you know her?
Logan stares at her and gives a slight shake of his head.
No.
Hey, these boys aren't gonna like what you've done in this place. We really need to go.
I'll find my own way.
Logan looks back at Kayla. Remy studies him.
Good luck.
Logan closes Kayla's eyes and stays, kneeling by her side. He gets up, looks around for a moment, then runs off as fire and emergency teams arrive on the scene. Seen from the air, the area of the island by the cooling towers and ruins, Remy's floatplane makes its way out of the small harbour. The island, the river, and surrounding countryside become smaller as the aerial view gets higher and higher until the whole scene is obscured by cloud. Unit Production Manager Luigi Friedman, First Assistant Director Philippe Patterson, First Assistant Director Chris Soldo. Second Assistant Director Paul K. Barry, Production Manager Michelle Russell. Ruined boots trudge wearily along wet tarmac. Stryker walks along in a daze. A military police armored car approaches him, its blue and red lights flashing. Stryker stops and turns.
Colonel Stryker!
An armed squad approach him.
Colonel William Stryker?
Yes.
You're wanted for questioning in connection with the death of General Munson, sir.
Stryker stares at him blankly. The cast. Hugh Jackman as Logan/Wolverine. Liev Schreiber as Victor Creed. Danny Houston as Stryker. Will I Am as John Wraith. Lynn Collins as Kayla Silverfox. Kevin Durand as Fred Dukes. Dominic Monaghan as Bradley. Taylor Kitsch as Remy LeBeau. Daniel Henney as Agent Zero. Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson. Scott Adkins as Weapon 11. Tim Pocock as Scott Summers. Julia Blake as Heather Hudson. Max Cullen as Travis Hudson. Troy Sivan as James. Michael James Olsen as Dog, Brandon's young Creed. Peter O'Brien as John Howlett. Aaron Jeffrey as Thomas Logan. Alice Parkinson as Elizabeth Howlett. Phil Patterson as firing squad leader. Anthony G as carnival guy. Adelaide Clemens as carnival girl. Carl Beatty as schoolchild. Tom O'Sullivan as logging supervisor. Miles Pollard as Phelan. Stephen Anderson as Mark Hughes. Chris Sadrina as Van Meer. Septimus Caton as bartender. Matthew Dale as surgeon. Nathan Butler as male nurse 1. Peter Barry as male nurse 2. David Ritchie as Dr. Cornelius. Asha Keddy as Dr. Carol Frost. Socrates Otto as lead technician at Alkali Lake. Stephen Leader as General Munson. James D. Deaver as platoon leader. Martin Abuga as muttering man. Rita Rafua Cornell as nervous African woman. John Shrimpton as striker aide. Henry Brown as Curtis. Taina Totsi as Kayla's sister, Emma. Daniel Negreanu as poker player number 1. Alex Davies as woman of the night. Don Batt as huge doorman. Evan Sturrock as drunken man in alley. Rob Flanagan as driver number 1. Hakim K. Kazim as African businessman. Alison Araya as teacher. Eric Brecker as Special Forces commander. Eileen Bui as Vietnamese child number 1. Adrian Hughes as hunter number 1. Brian Chief Moon as hunter number 2. Mike Dopewood as Vietnam Army officer number 1. Beatrice Ilg and Kanako Takagishi as waitresses. Panu as tank soldier. Johnson Phan as Vietnamese man. Elizabeth Tai as Vietnamese woman. Jade Tang as mutant twin number 1. Joelle Tang as mutant twin number 2. Warwick Young as helicopter pilot. Copyright 2009, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and June Entertainment 3 LLC in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea and Spain. Copyright 2009, TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and June Entertainment 3 LLC in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea and Spain. The events, characters and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead, or to actual events or firms, is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. Further titles continue to scroll. Dust swirls in the ruins of the cooling tower on Three Mile Island. An adamantium blade protruding from the rubble slowly retracts into a wrist, and Wade's hand gropes out from beneath the remains. The hand feels its way to Weapon 11's severed head. At the hand's touch, the eyes snap open.